to all the moms. Moms of children who are still at home or all grown up. Moms who've outlived a son or daughter. Or moms of babies they never got to hold. Moms who've raised kids all on their own or became a mom to someone who needed one. Moms of children who have wandered from God, or the longing to be moms who are still waiting. God perfectly arranged each of you into the role you have today. His word recognizes you as capable, strong, and praiseworthy. Everything you do makes our lives more beautiful. Happy Mother's Day.
We honor our mothers, and we thank you for what you do so often without getting thanks. And our deacons have flowers for you this morning. We want to just tell you how important you are, and we've got some great helpers to give them to you. It's an important day because of the role that you play in the lives of so many, even in not your kids, but other kids. And we want to say thank you. We're glad you're here today. We hope that this moment in time, we will take these few moments, clear out the distractions of this world and focus on a God who allowed us to be co-creators with Him, and give Him this few moments of time. I have one quick announcement before we enter worship. 2 weeks from today, I need just a real short, quick business meeting after the service. But that's 2 weeks from today. I just want you to make sure of that. Let's open the service with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for each mother that you created. And Father, we thank you that you allow us to create life with you. And Father, we honor you and praise you. We give you glory for this day. And as we enter this time of worship, let our minds be clear and our hearts be focused on you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Glory.
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, even when we are not faithful. Father, I pray that you will continue to open our hearts, allow our praise and worship to be a sweet fragrance before you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue our study in the book of James this morning, we're coming to a topic that separates Christianity from most other religions of the world, and it is faith and works, and we're going to examine that this morning. I want to share with you a passage of Scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpieces. He has created anew in Jesus Christ so that we can do good things He's planned for us long ago." God has things for us to do, and that's the focus of our study this morning. But before we do that, let's continue to worship an almighty God that loved you enough to make you a masterpiece.
Thank you.
Pray with me. Father, as we open your word, I pray that you will open our eyes. Father, let your word speak to us, cleanse our hearts and our minds, and let us be more like you when we leave here than when we came in. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. When I was in elementary school, I was a Boy Scout for about 12 minutes. And I went on one camping trip. It was the summer, I think it was a week, at Camp Old Indian. I bet they can't even call it that anymore. But went to Camp Old Indian for a week. And one night, we decided we were going to be adventurous. And we went out into the woods, and we thought we got lost. Who knows if we were or not, but we were following the trail back. It was dark. We were stumbling over stuff, and there was three or four of us. And we got almost back to our little cabin, and they call it a cabin. I never understood why. It's just three walls is all it was. There was no front on it. Mosquitoes ate us up that year. But we got almost back to the cabin, and when we got in the cabin, Steve, that was with us, turned his flashlight on. And we said, "Why didn't you turn that on when we was out lost?" And he said, "I was saving the batteries." I want to ask y'all something this morning. Some of y'all are saving your batteries for what? For what? We all have, y'all remember that song, "This Little Light of Mine"? Anybody singing along? Anybody remember the motions? We all have the light of Christ in us, but some of y'all are saving it for what? What are you saving your batteries for? Turn with me to the book of James, and we're into chapter 2. We're at a topic that separates Christianity from most every other religion on this planet. And that is faith and works. And this will stumble up so many people, but we're going to unpack what James has for us to learn about faith and works this morning. I'm going to start reading it at James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith and you don't show it in your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" Steve's light, his flashlight that he had in his pocket, did us no good because he had it in his pocket, saving his batteries. If you say you have faith and nobody around you can identify that, what good is it? What good is it? We are called, once we are saved, to show the light of Christ to the world. And we can come up with every single excuse not to. And none of them make any sense. God called us to show our faith. But either we're scared, we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to offend anybody. You remember, some of you will, the story of Ruby Bridges. The year is 1960. America's in quite a turmoil. It has just been legislated that the schools will be desegregated. Some of y'all who lived through this know this was a tumultuous time. Ruby Bridges was 6 years old at this point, and I imagine had no understanding of what was going on. But her parents decided they were going to send her to public school, to a desegregated school in New Orleans. The day came for her to go to school, and everybody was upset. It didn't matter what color you were, everybody was upset. And everybody, both sides, decided they were going to stage a walkout, and nobody went to school except 6-year-old Ruby Bridges. And for the entire first day of school, she was the only child in school in New Orleans. She was it. There were no other kids. There were no other teachers. It was her, the federal marshals, and the principal. Can you imagine what she endured from both sides as she went into school and out of school? Later on, her parents were asked, "Why did you put her through that?" And you know what her parents' response was? "At some point, you will be called on to show what you believe. At some point, you will be called on to show what you believe." Every single one of us has been put in our place, wherever you are, whether it's your job, your friend circle, your community, your street. You have been put there with a purpose. And at some point, you will be called on to show what you believe. Many of us have our flashlight in our pocket, saving our batteries. Let's keep going. Verse 15. "Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well.' But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? What good does that do?" If you're like I am, you can get to this point in life and have a little bit of skepticism. You know what I mean? You see those people standing on the middle of the street when the red light is red with the little sign, and you think, "Get a job." Right? Ever thought that? I bet you have. Should you give them everything you have? I don't know. Ask God. Okay? There are certain instances God wants you to show up because there's needs that need to be met. Now, I was thinking this week, how do I illustrate that for us? And I found something interesting. You know, we live in a day and age where, have you ever watched TV and commercials come on, and the commercial come on and go off, and you go, "What were they selling?" This is one of those. It's what it does incredibly well is demonstrate this principle of what we are supposed to be doing as Christians. Now, it's from Thailand, so you'll have to read the subtitles. But watch this, because it is incredibly accurate at who we are supposed to be. First of all, I've got a question. You have any idea what they were selling? At the end of the commercial, there's a panel. It's cut off because it wasn't necessary. It was a commercial for life insurance. But isn't it an incredible picture of what God wants from us? Now, I want to break that thing down because there's a couple of things that we run across in our life if we are acting the way God wants us to. First of all, did you catch the fact that at some point, the people that he was helping changed from gratitude to expectation? They were expecting him to help. And when he didn't help, there were some sour looks on their face. It didn't change his actions. Did you see that? He kept doing what he was doing, regardless of what was received back. The second thing, did you notice the world looked on him with disbelief as if you are so stupid for what you're doing? The bystanders said, you're wasting your time. There are many things you're going to do in your life if you're following the Holy Spirit and doing what He desires for us to do that you will never see the outcome. You will never see the outcome. It doesn't mean don't do them. It doesn't mean don't do them. I'm sort of a country music fan, old country music. Whatever they're playing today, that's not country music. But Martina McBride had a song years ago, and the title of it is, Do It Anyway. You're going to write a song, you're going to sing a song, you're going to live a life that nobody's going to remember. Do it anyway. Because that's what God wants us to do. And you never know what will become out of your works. Now, if you put a pot under that much water, only God can turn it in to something beautiful. But you do it anyway. Let's keep going. Verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good works, and its deeds and uselessness. If you say you're a Christian and nobody can tell, what good is it? What good is it? Now, if you got a bulletin, I want us to walk through something that this is where we get separated from the rest of the world. Look on the back. If you want to take notes and follow along with me, I want to show you how the world thinks, and I want to show you how Christians should think. Okay? Because faith and works is a real sticky issue for religions. Okay? At the bottom, on both charts, there is us, and our desire is to get up to God. Okay? So the first one, the first step right above you, most religions and the world's view, is that's where your works go. Works. You start doing good things. You start being a different person. Have you ever invited somebody to church and what they told you was, when I get my life cleaned up, I'll come? Okay? This is the world view. So I've got to change. I've got to start doing good works. So the second step that's going to happen because of that is I'm going to start to build faith in myself. Okay? It's going to change who I think I am as I start to do good works. Which the third step is going to lead to me being accepted. Okay? After I do good works, I start to build faith in myself, then I'm accepted to the top step where God is. I've earned my salvation. Now, the problem with this whole view is it involves nothing but me. It is me entirely. I start doing good things, I build faith in myself, I'm accepted, and I have earned my salvation. So I'm at God, with God. God has a completely different view. that is completely turned upside down. So on the second chart, you see there is you and Christ. God sent Christ to us, and the first line right there is salvation. He has sent Christ to us to save us. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because He loves you. Now, when you have that kind of salvation, the second thing you're going to get is acceptance. That's the second step. You're accepted and your knowledge begins to grow. Which brings you to the third step, where your faith in Christ begins to grow. Because of the salvation and being accepted and loved, you put your faith in Christ to where the top step is your works. Because of everything else, because of your free gift of salvation, your faith in Christ, your being loved and accepted, what comes out of you is what was in this commercial for life insurance. Is I'm a different person and I am looking at the world through the eyes of Christ, and I can be a light that changes the world around me. The world that that man chose to live in, and when I say chose to live in, the kind of life you have is because of what you choose. And if you're going to spread love to even people who don't deserve it, or look at you as if you didn't do enough when you do it, you will change that world because of your light. Now let's keep going. Verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say to you, how many of you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? And this line is so incredibly important. I will show you my faith by my good deeds. If you have to tell somebody you're a Christian, if you have to tell somebody you're a Christian, is your flashlight in your pocket? It was a man on the street corner in Chicago, homeless guy. A man came up to him and said, "Sir, do you know Jesus Christ?" The man shook his fist and he said, "That's none of your business." The man said, "It is my business." To which the man replied, "Well, you must be D.L. Moody." An incredible preacher of the day who lived out what he believed to the point where even non-Christians knew that name because he had lived such a life that they knew him by his deeds. Let's keep going. Verse 19, you say you have faith for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. I love this scripture. This shows John's attitude. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and tremble. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Have you ever thought about this? Satan believes in God. Satan believes in God and is scared to death of Him. So when you tell somebody, or somebody tells you, I believe in God, okay, good for you. Good for you. Even Satan does. Has it changed your life? Has it changed your life? And if it's changed your life, you should be changing other people's lives. I'm going to close with this thought. Gold is considered a noble metal. For you chemistry majors, y'all know what that means. For the rest of us, a noble metal means it has no acidic qualities. Now, for some of you who are a little gray-headed, have you ever said, give it the acid test? You know what that means? Back in the day, when gold rush was on and people were claiming to have gold everywhere, you could take what you thought was gold, rub it up against a stone, it would leave a mark. Then you would take acid and pour it on it. This is where the saying, give the acid test, came. You pour it on the acid. If the acid ate away the metal, it wasn't gold, because gold is not metal. Okay? If you rubbed it up against it and poured acid on it and it stayed, it was metal. If you're rubbed up against the world, are you acid, eating away your good deeds? Are you gold? Are you changing the world no matter how what their reaction is? Are your deeds because of what you expect to get back? Or because you want to show the world a God who loves them. My prayer for us is, first of all, that every one of us know Christ. And then my prayer for you is that your flashlight's not in your pocket. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that You have called us to a life of doing good works. Not because of what we get out of it, and not because it will earn our salvation, but because we have faith in You. And Your faith, Your salvation, Your desire for us is to live a life of shining our little light to the darkness around us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.